Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. How many of you guys got in a walk this morning? Did you freeze? It's cold. The frost wasn't so thick today, thankfully. It's been mighty chilly lately. How many of you were here last year for the father-daughter? Okay, quite a few. I'm trying to gauge how much to share about me. I don't want to waste time about what I do if we're already friends, which it seems like a lot of us are. But for those of you who I haven't had the privilege of spending time with before, my name is Jesse Manassian. I have the privilege of living and working up here full-time with my husband, Paco, who will be here a little bit later. We have two daughters, Ryan and Logan. They are 8 and 10, and we have decided not to let them date until they qualify for Social Security. So, daughters, if you thought your dad's dating rules were harsh, just be glad you're not a Manassian. I spend a lot of my time investing in young women. I travel all over the country, blog posts, books, resources to help young women do life well. And dads, you're a big part of that and how I'm encouraging girls to turn to their families and find wisdom there and solace and their identity in Christ, but also through the members of their family. So to get to have both daughters and their dads here this morning is like a dream come true for me, because so much of what I'm trying to help young women understand, so much of it goes two ways, right? In relationship, it's always two ways. And I can give advice to you as daughters, but if your parents aren't on board, that it makes it hard to create change in a family. So to have you all here to this morning is fantastic. Can I pray and just welcome the Spirit of God into this place as we begin this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege. What a privilege to be in this place, away from the distractions of home and the ruts that we get ourselves into, Lord, just to hear clearly from you about who we are and who you are. And how we can live in light of that, Lord, to the people around us and the relationships that we're in, Lord, in every sphere of life. Lord, I pray this morning that your Spirit would be speaking, Lord, that it wouldn't be about me or my words, but that you would open our hearts to receive what you have to say this morning about love and about doing relationship well. Lord, we thank you that you are the best daddy ever and that you set an example for us in all things. Lord, we love you. We give you our lives. It's in your son's name that we can pray these things. Amen. Amen. Well, part of the reason that I'm so passionate about daddy-daughter relationships, and some of you have heard a little bit about this if you've been with me before, but I had a pretty difficult relationship with my dad growing up. I was with just my mom for the first 5 years growing up. And then my mom married my stepdad, Art. And it's funny how when you grow up, you start to hear stories a little bit differently than you remember them. And so from his perspective, I found out as I was researching for my latest book called Family, How to Love Yours and Help Them Like You Back. I was asking him a lot of questions, interviewing him about how he remembers the time when I entered his life. And he says, yeah, you were cute, but real precocious. And you needed a big dose of discipline. And so looking back on it, I just thought that he was unreasonable a lot and angry a lot, and we just butted heads a lot. We had two very strong wills, and so that created a lot of tension in our home, created a lot of eye rolls and door slams, and it's only now as an adult that I can look back on that relationship and see the other side of the story, and it makes me even more passionate to help daughters understand that their dads are people too. And that they're not girls. I know, big surprise, right? But I think we as girls, as daughters, sometimes we expect our fathers to act or react a certain way in light of who we are as females. And that can be difficult, can create conflict. I was real honest last night. We had a real good big family blowout last night, right before I came to announce my seminar. But the beautiful thing was this morning, my husband got up and called my daughters into the room and me into the room, and he said, girls, I want you to know something. And he read Proverbs 31. He said, who does that remind you of? I'm like, well, not me, clearly. But it was such a beautiful, it was his way as a man of affirming me. And it reminded me of the differences between men and women and how we're hurt differently and we react differently. But when we're both operating out of the strengths that God has given us and being refined by the Holy Spirit, what a beautiful thing it is to have daughters and dads and how we can grow from each other. So that's a little bit why I'm passionate about this topic. And now as a wife to a husband who has two daughters, we've been thinking a lot about this. How do you keep that magic alive, right? Like, you want that magic in your relationship. You want to be able to say, I'm daddy's little girl. And dads, you want to say, oh, she's my little girl. Always, right? We want that. And yet, so much of life just kind of beats down on that. And we get into these routines and this monotony, and it kind of robs that magic. It steals it from us. And so today I want to talk about just four practical ways of how we can keep that magic alive, no matter what stage we're in, whether we've got little ones who still fit in our arms, or whether our daughters are grown and we're doing life side by side. And I want to just preface it all by saying these are not quick fixes. They're not magic bullets. They're not going to, you know, magically transform everything. But I think, like every good relationship, it's worth effort. And so these are things that we can practically do to keep that effort in it. So the first thing is conflict resolution. Maybe first because, you know, it's kind of near and dear to my heart this morning. But I want to make this relevant to guys too. So I'm going to have this analogy of a car, right? I mean, that's a guy analogy, right? Sports and cars, I'm hoping. So the analogy that I was thinking of, man, what is conflict resolution like in terms of a vehicle? And I think it would be like maintenance, like that routine maintenance. This is going to be a story speaking in a room of half men. But my very first car, I was so excited to get it. I had been waiting to get my license. I didn't get it till I was 18, got my first car, finally was able to buy my first car when I was a freshman in college. So I got this gold MR2, little Toyota MR2. Any of you guys know about those little, they're like built to be fast cars. And I thought that'd be really fun at 19 years old. So I got this little gold MR2. And I was so excited to have my first set of wheels. Girls, I drove that thing all over California. It was like up and down. Anywhere there was something going on, I was there. And I drove fast. And I am not proud of that. And you should not drive fast. But I drove that car into the ground. And it told me the only thing it knew how to tell me. There were some orange letters that appeared on the dashboard. Check engine. Now remember, I'm 19 years old and I just spent every last dollar that I owned to buy this car. I didn't have money to take it to a mechanic. So I called up a family friend and I said, you know, something's wrong with my car. He said, well, they'll tell me the symptoms or whatever. And so I explained kind of what was going on. And he said, yeah, that's probably going to cost a lot of money to fix. I'm like, oh man, okay. Well, the symptom that I had at that point was kind of a burning oil smell, and there was like a little puddle of oil under my car whenever I'd park it. And so I did what every 19-year-old would do. I bought a case of oil and I just kept driving. And so I kept driving that thing all over. And before long, my parking spot at my college, it looked like there was an offshore oil spill. And I was worried Greenpeace was going to come and pound my car. And still, I kept driving it. For that Christmas, I asked for a case of oil for Christmas, and I kept driving it. And eventually, I saved up enough money to take it to the mechanic, and I just said, could you take a look at this? I'm worried it might be a total, but what can you do? And I'm sitting in there, you know, waiting in the waiting room, and this guy comes out with just a big grin on his face, and he looks down at me. He said, Miss, $40 oil hose came loose. Do you want to know how much I spent on oil? No, you do not want to know. I could have fixed that car 5 times. Oh, but that check engine light was trying to tell me something. And me, I was so worried it was going to be so hard to fix that I was worried to even put in any effort. And I think that's such a perfect analogy for so many things in life, but particularly with our relationships. Conflict is that check engine light on the dashboard. It lets us know that something isn't quite right under the hood. And some of that is normal, right? I mean, we have to get an oil change every 3 months because it helps the car run properly. And the same is true with conflict. I don't think all conflict is bad. And in a good scenario, it helps us hear and be heard. It helps build trust and build relationship. And that's why I think it has to be first when we're talking about preserving the magic. Because I think for dads and daughters, this area of conflict is the number one threat to your relationship. Because we handle conflict really differently. And dads, let me explain to you for a daughter growing up, the way that my dad handled conflict completely destroyed any premise for relationship. And the key with that was anger. For a daughter, I watched this just last night. You would have thought that we beat our children the way that they screamed last night because there was anger. When anger bubbles up, I can't really explain. You're just going to have to take my word on this, that for girls, for your wife and your daughters, a man's anger can be a very frightening thing. And for some of us who are like strong and a little bit sassy, it makes us like rise up like, oh, no, no, no. Maybe you've experienced this. And for others, it makes us just like tears, just all the tears. And for some of us, we just kind of wall up and we're like, no, I'm not going to let anybody hurt me. But whatever it is, I encourage you dads, I'm not saying the anger's wrong. Sometimes there is justifiable anger from a daddy. But to know that healthy conflict resolution is going to help pave the way for better relationship. It's so important. In our family, we talk about having a good, clean fight. Fights are going to happen. But having a good, clean fight means that we're not out to like dismember each other. We're using toy swords. We're using Nerf guns. We're trying to hear and be heard. When we're not fighting fair, our attacks can be deadly. Words have the power of life and death. Attacking someone for who they are, that they can't change, the way that they look, a learning ability, using words that are crude or off color, unbridled anger. Those are weapons that will completely destroy a relationship. So conflict's okay. Girls, it's okay to have conflict with your dad. It's okay for him to show emotion when he's frustrated or angry. But let's work toward a better understanding of each other. And the great thing about those tune-ups when we have them is that they help a car run better and they help a relationship run better too. So for those of you who admitted that already this weekend you had had your conflict, I would encourage you to think through, like, did we handle that well? Did it end up fostering a relationship or is there still like a cold front between us? Do we have things that we need to resolve? There's a lot more on this topic in that book I mentioned, Family, How to Love Yours and Help Them Like You Back. I have a whole chapter about this. The books, all of them on the back table are specifically for tweens, teens, college-age girls. But the principles are universal, relationship issues. So especially for that family one, if this is something that you guys are wrestling with, I encourage you to grab a copy and even just go through that chapter together on how to have a good, clean fight and stay on topic and use conflict to better your relationship together. All right, the second thing that if we're going to keep that magic alive on this adventure of daddy-daughter relationships, the second key is warmth. I have another confession to make, which is slightly less embarrassing than my car confession. I really like a warm car. I am female, and so my body temperature runs probably 20 degrees colder than my husband's. And so in the mornings up here, it's starting to get cold. And so I have been known to go start that car 30 minutes before I'm going to leave town and just get it like to a toasty 80 degrees. That's about my comfort level. And there's something about a warm car, right? When it's cold and it's frosty, and you're kind of like, this is your body posture when that car is cold. You're just kind of tense and you're tight. But when it's warm, it helps you relax. It helps you enjoy the drive. It helps you enjoy life, in my opinion, but I'm a little bit biased. I think I was born to live in the desert. So the same is true in our relationships. Warmth is like warming up the car of your relationship. There was a fascinating study that I read recently that I'm still chewing on all the ramifications of this. It was called the Longitudinal Study for Generations or of Generations. It was a man named Vern Bengston who started this study back in 1971. It spanned 35 years, 350 families over three, now four generations of people in a family. And they found out a ton of information, but there were five things that really surprised Dr. Bengston about this study, and one of them was completely fascinating to me, but has everything to do with what we're talking about this morning. He said, when we looked at factors that might predict or account for why some families are more successful in transmitting religion and values than others, we found that the most important characteristic was the quality of the relationship. not whether the parent was a good role model or whether the parent said prayers in the evening, but rather whether the parent was perceived as being warm, affirming, and supportive. Moreover, it was the father, not the mother, who was instrumental in the quality of relationship component. Okay, let me summarize that down to some bite-sized pieces for us. Your relationship with your daughter is vital, especially in transmitting faith to the next generation. And warmth is the key to your relationship. This is both frightening and relieving all at once, because what is not as vital is that you have all the right answers, that you can answer all of her theological discussions about God, that you are always consistent, that you never get angry. The key is that you are perceived as warm, as affirming, as supportive, as approachable. I know that that can be hard as men to maintain that warmth. It involves vulnerability and humility. It involves a lot of other qualities. But as I've been mulling on this, I can tell you from experience, this is transformational in a relationship. See, when I was living at home with my dad, I did not perceive him as approachable. I perceived him as angry. I didn't perceive him as supportive. I perceived him as expecting more than I could give. And that was detrimental to our relationship. As I've grown up, and specifically one event that changed both of our lives, I lost my mom to cancer 10 years ago, and it devastated my dad. But in those 10 years since, he's become a different person. Do you know what the one marker is that just explains so much? He is warm. He's realized what it's like to lose someone and has become more vigilant in building relationship. And the key marker of that has been warmth. And so as I'm reading this study, I'm like, wow, that's it. Because now I have a fantastic relationship with my dad. He's still crotchety sometimes. He still gets angry. But he is approachable. He's supportive. And he's perceived as someone who I can go and give a big hug to. So let me ask you, dads, how does your daughter perceive you? Because I can tell you that sometimes I think as adults, we feel like we are sometimes doing better than our kids think that we're doing. So for dads, you might think that you're real in touch with your emotions, like you're a real softy pants. But if your daughter isn't perceiving that warmth, it's not going to foster that intimacy in your relationship. For daughters, this goes for us too. Our warmth toward our dad goes a long way. When we I think sometimes assume that because our dads are strong and they're not maybe as emotional as we are, that we can kind of push up against and disrespect and roll our eyes and all those things, and that they're just going to be impervious to our attitude. But the truth is, dads have feelings too. Right. Dads have feelings too. And I'm watching this unfold now between my husband and our daughters, and how I think sometimes they assume that they can just do whatever they want to this rock of a man, and that he will still always be kind and always be loving and always forgive. And sometimes I'm watching him, he's just like, like just feels beat up. Like I need their warmth. I need them to look at me like I'm their hero. And daughters, we can play a big role in the warmth of a relationship by the way that we affirm our dads, by the way we go out of our way to let them know that we respect them and appreciate them and are grateful for the many, many sacrifices that they have made in order to provide a home for us and food for us and clothing and relationship. It's good stuff. Guys, I'm not asking you to check your masculinity at the door and become a woman. That's not what I'm asking. But I think that the Spirit of God, as he works in our life, this is what's produced. But the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit, not just for women, but for men too, right? And so as we each, both male and female, develop, what does this fruit look like in our lives? I think it develops warmth. So let's aim to add that to our arsenal and help keep that magic in our relationship. Thirdly, if we want that magic, so conflict resolution, warmth, and then we're going to add on intentionality. Intentionality. Because we can want it to be magical. Like I said last night, girls, when your dad came home from the hospital with you, he was convinced he wanted to be the best dad ever. And there's just a really special thing about a daddy having a daughter. But as those years pass and we get into those ruts, it's like a car driving over the same spot over and over and over. We have that on the dirt roads up here. You start getting these channels where the tires go, and it can be really hard to like veer off of that. And we get into these ruts in family, especially as we head into like the teenage years, and sometimes those are hard to overcome. So if we want a good relationship, we have to be very intentional about carving new paths. Because left to just the day-to-day monotony of life, we end up with lackluster relationships. Now, girls, I have to give your dads a huge high five right now because you are here this weekend. Have you thanked your dad yet? Have you thanked him for being intentional about building relationship with you enough to give up a weekend? I don't know what sports games are on this weekend, but he gave them up to be here, and that's a big deal. He's here to build relationship with you. That is why he's here. That's intentional. So I feel a little bit like I'm preaching to the choir, but I think in our day-to-day lives, sometimes it can be hard with all the busyness to build relationship. So I asked my daughters, I'm like, what makes a good relationship with your dad? And here's what they said. From Ryan and Logan's perspectives, spend time together. Or go on a date. Physical affection, like just a hug, big hugs. One of my daughters, her love language is physical affection, so this is a big one for her. Wrestling for the other one. Her love language is tickling, so that was the thing that she wanted. Be interested in me and the things I'm interested in. And this was interesting. My daughter said these words as she was sitting at the table with a book, an animal encyclopedia. And Paco just happened to be sitting next to her and was looking at the animals with her. And she said, this is relationship right here. It doesn't have to be big and crazy. It's just being interested in the things that I care about and not fighting. I was very interested. It was interesting to me to hear that, and was just a confirmation of what I had been mulling on, that conflict can be the biggest prohibitive factor to like just a good relationship if we're not careful. So for dads, how can you spend time with your daughter doing the things that she enjoys doing? Maybe she's into sports, and so you can go out and play basketball with her or throw the football around or whatever it is. But if she's not, are you comfortable moving into her space to do things with her that she does enjoy? I think it's a little bit easier when they're real little and you can sit on the floor and like play Legos with them or something. But as they get older and their interests change, what can you do? What common ground can you have to do together? Vice versa for girls. What does your dad like to do? Watch football. I knew that was coming. How many of your dads like to watch football? How many of you girls have sat on the couch through a whole football game and just hung out with your dad? Okay. It's a harder one, right? Some of you are good at this. I was actually really good at this when I was younger, and then I got married. I'm like, how many football games are there? You want me to sit through how many games this season? So we found a happy medium. He watches them at night after I go to bed. No, but what does your dad like to do? If it's watching football, like try to join him in that. Dads don't need a lot. Like, you don't have to have conversation for all four quarters. Like, you just hang out. Like, maybe even offer to, like, go make some popcorn and then sit down on the couch together, right? Is he into cars? Have you let him teach you how to change your oil? That was a big one for my dad. And I didn't get it until I was much older. But even though this is why it's so embarrassing to share my car story, because I knew better. My dad actually taught me well. I could change my oil and change a tire before I got that car. But that was important to him. Sometimes we'd go and we'd just clean the car together. That I didn't realize that we were building a relationship. That's what my dad liked to do. So girls, what can you do with your dad? What can you ask to do together that you know that he'll enjoy? Here's another one, girls. I think sometimes if we want to build intentional relationship, it helps to remember that our dad are real people. And what I mean by this is this. I thought when I was younger that the world revolved around me. It was pretty logical, actually, in my mind. And so everything orbited around Jesse. And I did not realize that my dad actually had a name, and it was not Dad. That he actually had a life before I was born, before I entered his life. That he had interests. He had overcome obstacles. He was a third generation of a line of pretty abusive men. He had overcome much. He had given his life to the Lord at right about the time that he got married to my mom, and he had come a long way. But in my mind, since everything revolved around me, I didn't see any of that. So for you, I want more than that for you. I want you to think about your dad not as a character in your movie, you as the protagonist, but what if the movie was about him? What kind of a character would he be? What kind of obstacles would he have had to overcome to make it where he is in life right now? Educationally, family, career, vocation. It starts to change our perspective. If you're not sure about his life, here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to ask your dad out on a blind date. Here's what I mean by that. A blind date is a date where you go out with someone where you don't know anything about them before you go out on that to spend time together. And so you have to ask intentional questions to find out about that other person. So going out with your dad on a blind date means you go out and you don't assume that you know anything about your dad. And you just start asking questions. Ask him about his childhood. Ask him about high school. Whatever stage of life you're in, that's a great place to start. What was life like for you when you were my age, Dad? And dads, vice versa. I know you think you know your daughter real well because you've watched her since she was yay high. But here's a crazy thing about girls. We change our personalities a lot. I know it's a big surprise. We change. I heard a statistic that every 5 years, someone completely changes their personality in a pretty drastic way. And I think when we're girls and we're like, especially in those teenage years, it's probably more like every 6 months. So even though you may have known her 2 years ago, pretend like you don't know anything about her and get to know her. Ask her questions. Who is she today? Who are her best friends and why? How has her heart been broken? Or if she's younger, you know, just keep it light and easy, but get to know her in a new way. And here's, I mean, all of us know this, but this is probably the most obvious statement of this whole morning, but it's so key, and I struggle with this so much, but if you don't plan it, it's not gonna happen. Do you guys find that? I have the best intentions about being intentional in my marriage and with my daughters, and then it's not on the calendar, and all of a sudden, 6 months have gone by, and I'm like, where's time gone? So after this seminar's over, I have a handout for you, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But on the back of that paper, I would encourage you to write like specifically what you can do in the next just 3 months, whether it's, you know, a Saturday date or watching a football game together. Write down specific things, and when you get home, put them on your calendar. Don't let that to put reminders, like 10 of them if you need them. Just make sure that it happens before life gets away from us. So we have to be intentional. Intentionality is like gas in the tank. It's what it helps the relationship go. And the last quality that I want to talk about this morning is savor today. Savor today. It would be a real shame for us to invest all this time into our relationship with our dad or our daughter and then forget to just enjoy it, right? It's like the guy who has like the really nice shiny sports car that sits in his garage all the time. You're like, oh, I wish I could just take that thing out for a drive. We got to get out there and we've got to enjoy it. And this is what I think it looks like in relationship. It looks like savoring today. I already shared with you that I lost my mom to cancer. It changed everything for me. Because the thing that I regret most is not the slamming doors and the eye rolls and the moments where we had conflict. The thing that I regret most is apathy. That I lived for that many years under the same roof and didn't savor the time that I had with her. And I think the same is true for our dads and our daughters, we don't know how much time we're going to have together. And this is not meant to be depressing, but Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, it is better to spend time in the house of mourning than the house of feasting, because that helps us know where we're going. And it helps us live differently today. Do you remember what it was like when you brought that little girl home and she was in diapers and you felt like you were going to be paying for them for all of eternity? Right? Like, it felt like she was always going to be that little girl in diapers, and then she was a little toddler running around. It felt like she was always going to run up to you and throw her arms around you and say, Daddy. And then maybe she got to be a teenager and you thought, this was never going to end, but it did. And maybe now you have an adult daughter that you're sitting next to, and maybe she's married, maybe she has a family of her own, and you're thinking, man, where did the time go? Because the days pass slowly, but man, do the years pass quickly. We've got to savor today. I remember the first time my husband came up to me, he's like, babe, they don't ask me for stories at bedtime anymore. And he probably didn't have tears in his eyes. I probably imagined them, but I had tears in my eyes. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, that every night they used to say, Daddy, tell me a story. And he would weave these fantastical tales that follow these animals who overcome great obstacles to save the world. And they were always epic. And my daughters ate them up. And all of a sudden, they stopped asking for them. And I remember the night that he came to me and he said, man, Logan wanted to do our special kisses and I couldn't remember how we did them. Those seasons pass so quickly. Dads, what do you miss about your little girls when they were yay high? What do you miss about that season of elementary school? If they're past that stage, what do you miss about those junior high years and those high school years? Maybe there's less to miss, but no, there are those things. When she was still under your roof, what did you miss? What do you miss now? The things that I miss, girls, about my dad, now that I am grown, and I wish I could go back and relive some of those years, do you know what I miss? I miss the smell of his aftershave on church mornings. There was something strong about it. I didn't have a fantastic relationship with him during that time of my life, but there was something about that smell. And still now, if I smell that, like it pulls at something in my heart. I miss that. I miss sitting in his pickup truck going to watch my brother's football games. They were my stepbrothers, and so we'd have to drive a considerable distance to go to those games. And those were a big deal to me, to get to spend that time with my dad in a pickup truck driving through the desert. I miss that. And I know that someday, maybe soon, I'm going to miss not being able to just pick up the phone and call and hear him say, well, hello, daughter. I'm going to miss that. What are the things that you're going to miss about the stage that you're in today? Because the only thing that I know for certain is that this stage is going to change. It's not always going to be as it is right now. And in some ways, that's a good thing. I moved on. I left home. I started a life of my own, and it changed my relationship with my dad for the better. There were good things that came of a little bit of separation. But the only thing I know for sure is that it will change. So what are the things that you can savor today, that you can take advantage of today in this season that you're in? It helps us to live with our eyes wide open, looking for the things that we can adore in each other. I have a handout for you. There's a stack here in the front, and there's a stack in the back by the book table. And it has just a series of questions. There's one for dads, and you can take one for each daughter that you have that you want to do this little exercise for. And then there's one for daughters, and daughters, you will probably just need one, and maybe two. But take those with you today. And I would encourage you over this afternoon, if you have a little bit of time before you guys head home, or once you get home, try to make a point to fill it out. I mean, there's nothing revolutionary on it, but it's just that intentional piece of thinking through For example, what are three characteristics about your daughter that make you smile? Or for daughters, what is one thing you miss about a previous stage of life with your dad? And I want to just to get you thinking about practically, what do these things look like? There's questions about warmth, about how warm you are, or how warm you perceive you are towards your dad or towards your daughter. And what are three ways you can intentionally build relationship together in the coming months? And it's one thing to just sit here together and be like, we're going to do this. And it's another to actually sit down and do it. So I would encourage you to do that separately. If you want to share your answers with each other, you're welcome to do that, but it's not required. Well, none of it's required. I'm not going to give you a grade on it. So it's there for your use if you would like it. Can I pray for you guys? And then I'll give just a couple announcements at the end. Lord, would it be so for us? Lord, would we live intentionally in this relationship, this beautiful gift that you've given us of each other, of our dads, of our daughters? Lord, would we live those relationships well, knowing that only you know how many days, how many months, how many years we have together? Lord, I pray a special blessing over the fathers in this room. Lord, there is an assault against them in this world. Lord, I acknowledge that. Lord, and I speak over them words of strength. Lord, may they know how strong that they are, not in their might, but in their character. Would they be warriors to protect the purity and virtue of not only their own daughters, but of daughters across this globe? Would they use the best of what you've put in them to be warriors for your kingdom? And Lord, for the daughters in this room, Lord, would they see all those good things in their daddy? Would they see that as a reflection of you? Would they understand what they have? Lord, this gift of a dad who is intentional, who is warm, who is not perfect, but who loves them dearly. And would they in turn seek to bless their dads in the way that they honor and respect them? Lord, we're so grateful for family, as hard and as frustrating as it can be. Lord, we're grateful that you chose to make it up, to create a place where we can not only find security and comfort, but also, more importantly, that we can become like your son, Jesus Christ, growing in the fruit of the Spirit, putting on meekness and self-control and gentleness and love. Lord, would we do it all for your glory? And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.